And we are taking forever to go live. No, hey, we're live. All right. That was quicker than I expected. Hey, folks. Thanks for calling into the BAMF podcast. We have well-known sci-fi writer Nick Cole with us today. How you doing, sir?
I am doing well. How about everybody else?
Awesome. Thanks for being here. Frequent co-host Walt Rebilliard is here as well. Walt, how are you this fine Tuesday morning?
I am living the life of a Kung Fu supermodel, which is my standard answer when I'm trying to dodge two huge dogs trying to take Cheerios from my hand.
That's a complicated catchphrase, but I'm there for it. All right, here is our annoying but contractually obligated artisanally handcrafted intro music. One second.
Oh boy, I was going to say, the suspense was killing me.
And it's everything slower this morning. I don't know why. We need some caffeine in the system. All right, today we are here to talk about Forgotten Ruin, the role-playing game. And I will get the Kickstarter page up here momentarily. Nick, it'd be a lot more interesting if you told our viewers rather than me what the Forgotten Ruin is all about.
Forgotten Ruin is a delightful little adventuring cozy in which you play the part of Noblio the Elf. And you go along getting cooking and baking recipes and working on your film script for Hollywood, because that's a thing in Forgotten. No.
I kind of want to play this.
Well, hang on. Can I run a coffee shop?
No. Yes, but you can only be a dwarf and you can only advance to fourth level barista, whereas your human employees can advance to unlimited levels, but they die earlier and you are chained to your Vente espresso machine for 255 years. It's a game that writes itself.
It really does.
I'm just going to let you host now, Nick. You can just run with it. That's all right.
Exactly. Forgotten Ruin was basically conceived under the, it breaks down to someone said, what would it be like to shoot an ogre with a 240 Bravo machine gun? And then a game happened. So basically we took the world's premier fighting force, which is U.S. Army Rangers, the most elite troops in the world. Sometimes people like to add that shock thing, but I think that's a terrible identifier. But they do put the shock in awesome. And we decided, you know what, we love Tolkien and we love Dungeons and Dragons. And so what would happen if a detachment of Rangers, about a company sized element, decided that they got sent into sort of a fantasy universe and they had to fight for their lives. And like, you know, we first pitted them against a supported orc horde that was supported by heavy trolls. I would say striker type ogre units, you know, with bows and arrows moving fast, big scimitars. And then of course their heavy hill giant, which would probably be like, you know, the equivalent of a Spectre gunship on the battlefield. And so half the fun of Forgotten Ruin is, you know, taking and applying modern military tactics to fantasy monsters. And I think at the end of the day, which is a great phrase everybody loves to use, you can say, well, you know what, a guy shooting 7.62 going high cyclic, he's probably going to kill an ogre quite easily. So then the fun becomes in balancing the game. So you get to work with a lot more monsters. You get to magically augment the monsters. And then that moves us to the next level where it's like, well, okay, how do the Rangers overcome magic? And then also, because this is a universe that has a tendency to affect certain people who either, I don't know, make or fail their saving throws in that sort of gamma world way, they can become fantasy denizens. And so that's the game. And it evolves out of the book series Forgotten Ruin, which people seem to like.
it's got some popularity. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Minotaur Machine Gunner.
Yeah,
the last one that I read.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and they had to make him the special E4 M60 version that SF works with because his paws didn't fit in the 240, which he could have carried quite easily.
Cool. All right, so this is an interesting novel series. I'm up through the first two. I haven't gotten through the third one yet, and we're on Kickstarter. We're in RPG now. What system are we using?
Well, is that my cue?
Sorry. Yeah. Hey, there's a system called GURPS. Walt, have you thought about using GURPS?
Yeah, no. Sorry. No. I don't think I have enough page count to cover the ballistics that GURPS would actually put us into.
Yeah.
But like, what had happened was, you know, when we first started talking about this, you know, we started looking at some of the various systems that were out there, and it kept coming back to the story, right? Because the story, you know, we have our favorite D&D aficionado, which is PFC Kennedy. And he just, great novels, looking forward to the game. Are you looking at a print on demand so I can get a copy outside of the USA? Could be in the future once we start pushing this out through other avenues.
What really sucks, is we did have one option where you could actually walk into a store and pick up a fully printed, really nice game that we spent a lot of money on. Unfortunately, that store is now in Kiev, and it's a problem getting to it. But if you're in the area, and you're good at dodging fire, swing by and get a copy of Forgotten Ruin.
Make sure you get a signed copy, because if you're gonna run the risk, you might as well reap the reward.
Exactly.
But in the story, Kennedy keeps referring to a certain fantasy adventure game from back in the day, and we said, you know how easy it would be, because our friend Pete Spahn, over at SNG, he created Operation White Box, and it was so well crafted from White Box D&D from back in the day, and Swords and Wizardry White Box.
For those unfamiliar with it, that basically lets you play World War II scenarios with old school D&D rules.
Yeah. So eventually, a certain company, Fantago Games, came out with White Box Black Ops, mm-hmm. which was an entire supplement concerning the Rangers for this game. So we were like, hey, you know something? You know how easy it would be to take these two things and just smush Forgotten Ruin into there?
Just scissor them together.
So we based the initial book on Operation White Box, mm-hmm. but like Nick was just talking about, there's certain mechanics in the story of Forgotten Ruin. One of those being the ruin itself, and that the ruin reveals. And we see this in the character of it's Malone, right? That's his. That's the Corporal Malone, the machine gunner.
I believe it might be Montgomery. I don't know. I got a lot of characters moving around. Oh no, Monroe the Minotaur. See that? I did that, and I'm like, you know. Don't get complicated giving that kind of name. A lot of balls in the air. Make him Monroe. You're probably about to meet Eric the Elf.
And, oh, God.
He was a ranger in the support platoon. And then you're probably going to meet Dave the Dwarf, who was in Mortars. And
because of course
that's the kind of pro-level author craftsmanship you're getting here.
This should be a writer's workshop. Bob the Beholder, coming soon.
Yes.
Oh, that would be.
No, we can't. That's copyrighted.
Yeah, if we weren't sued into oblivion, it would be great to have a ranger become a beholder.
That's some serious body horror.
So there's actual mechanics in the game where the GM, called the observer controller, because military. So the OC can actually put his characters and make a check throughout the games as they progress to see if anybody gets ruined. And there's all these like crazy charts. You can either roll randomly or you can pick, everything to, from you start, becoming an orc to, undead, like our certain, fan favorite, Mr. Tanner, there's any number of possibilities that can happen in regard to how the ruin reveals. And there's also the gear aspect. Right, because in the stories, after a little while, their gear breaks down. You know, I can be Bob the Beholder, but I'm playing Dave the Dwarf, Sparky. So in the world of Forgotten Ruin, modern gear, anything with a circuitry, a microchip, anything past like certain Bronze Age and certain stuff that require complex machinery, it just breaks down after a while. So there's even mechanics in there for that, to keep you going back to the three pillars of Forgotten Ruin, which is the modern military, fantasy element, and the perpetual taco machine, which in the story is the Forge, a kind of like quantum 3D printer that allows them to still maintain their gear and fight like modern military in the world. So all those rules are in there.
All right, cool, cool. So using modified white box set on the Forgotten Ruin novels, let's talk about the Kickstarter. You guys are just knocking down doors and taking names there. It's been less than a week, and you're already smashing through stretch goals. What's coming up on those?
Oh, God. So right now we have, they just blasted through the Smadges threat assessment. So Sergeant Major, are the gods present? Who wouldn't want to fight Thor? there is a Thor in the story. So
yeah, there's a sniper named Thor.
But yeah, we just got the they started smashing down stretch goals pretty early, and right now we're looking at they've already smashed down the additional art. Of course, they very early on they smashed through the Supers game variant. This is going to be the same system that we're going to do the Galaxy's Edge role-playing game in. So we're going to have a variant on that. We got additional game content, which includes more monsters, new ruined paths, and new advanced training. You're going to have new spells, new character classes. The thing that everybody seems to be really excited about is the mass combat rules. We're getting a lot of feedback on that. People, hitting me up saying, "Hey, this would be awesome if we could put two armies together and just smash them on the table." So, I mean, that's going to be at 25,000. And then, of course, we have, if it goes higher than that, we'll keep improving the game.
Well, 25,000, you guys are averaging like 4K a day right now, right?
It's roughly that, yeah.
So it's probably, yeah. Early morning tomorrow. So
I think we did write enough goals to go, and I know it's ambitious, but 200?
Yeah, up to 200,000.
Yeah. And those goals get pretty crazy.
Yeah, like risk board game crazy.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest idea, that if that actually doesn't if we don't make that, and I'd like to make it, because I'd really like to do it. I think we'll just do it. Well, I shouldn't say that, should I?
Don't jinx it.
Yeah. Get us to 200,000, and you'll have the coolest risk game you've ever had in your life.
I'd be interested in just how the marketing and the licensing conversation goes for that.
Well, it's not risk.
Oh,
it's risk.
It's better risk.
Gotcha.
It's risk, not risk.
Yeah, risk. Well, yeah, exactly. There you go.
R-I-S-Q. Something, yeah. Sparky's saying, "I'm hoping that when they risque, even more fun." Sparky's weighing in, saying he hopes that when the GE Galaxy's Edge, for those not playing along at home, RPG Kickstarter starts, that there is an option for a white box conversion as a stretch goal.
Actually, if you wanted to do that right now, there's a way to do it. So hit me up, because we've done it. hit me up offline. We'll work it out. Will you be able to afford your Ferrari, Nick?
I think so. I think we're pretty damn close.
No, it's not the Ferrari upfront cost that kills you. It's the maintenance.
Everybody says that, but I have no intention of maintaining it. I'm from the South. We don't maintain things.
No, all they right. just end up on the lawn.
Yeah, that's what the yard is for. Yeah,
imagine how much that'll piss off my fancy neighbors if I park a Ferrari on the lawn. She don't work no more.
There was a lady at my gym who actually made her husband move because they bought $1 million house, but their neighbor was parking on the pebbles that are technically in the front yard area. Yeah, and she just couldn't stomach that. So yeah,
my buddy Cooter's gonna come over and put a new alternator in. We'll see what happens.
Oh boy, you're bringing me back, man. Those are memories. I had friends growing up who had, three or four cars, front and backyard. So
that's my goal in life is that. Just a bunch of cars on the yard.
That's an easy goal to achieve, sir. I mean, you're wasting your time with this writing stuff, man. You could go to a junkyard right now and make that happen. And I got a 2004 Saturn View. Get you started if you're interested.
Wow, that brings it back.
Yeah. Who's named Cooter anymore?
Only the right people. I think Cooter became a congressman.
Did he?
Yeah, Hazard. I think he did.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, there's what's his name from Love Boat did.
Yeah.
So transmissions in the bathtub. Sounds like Jason might know Cooter.
Ain't that always the case?
Jason's all about the Cooter. So, oh. All right, so this means mass combat rules. Is it just RPG mass combat rules, or are we tiptoeing into the skirmisher miniature game area?
Of course, because why limit yourself to just one?
We're going to go full squad leader.
Yeah.
Are you guys fucking with me right now, or are you serious? I can't tell.
Why? Would it squad leader? Because there is a cult of squad leader. You know, that like if you said this yogurt is like squad leader, they'd all show up me like I'm buying the yogurt. People who've played squad leader are in a cult, and it's a great cult, but you know, if you got to be in a cult, that's a good cult,
right? Yeah, I was in scouts with a guy who was I don't know if it's Axis and Allies or squad leader, but he had tactical maps set up in a whole room in his house.
Yeah.
And you know, this game's been going on for 6 months, don't fucking touch anything. And his girlfriend got mad at him once and threatened to go in there with a fan.
That's great.
Yeah, it's it's definitely a way to treat your OCD. All right, cool.
So I think that guy just described my retirement plan. Cars on the lawn and an entire wing of the house dedicated to squad leader.
Right.
Yeah. There are worse ways to do it. There really are. So, all right. So Kickstarter, 4 days in, $20,000, 26 days to go. Almost 200 backers. We'll probably crack that today.
Right on.
Looks like today's update was about Raid the Ruined Rock. Is this a new adventure that we got greenlit?
So, you know, a lot of our backers are actually first timers to Kickstarter and also first timers to RPGs. That's one of the reasons why we went with a white box type system, just because we wanted to make sure that, you know, people who really enjoyed the books but might have never tried an RPG would have an easy buy-in. You know, they're not trying to read 400 pages of rules, trying to coordinate multiple systems together to kind of make things work. We wanted that experience of, you know, like the last time I was in Iraq, you know, you had guys like rolling up rule books and stuffing them in their pockets, you know, if they had a free minute in between, you know, like long patrols and stuff. But I mean, so we wanted to start with an introductory adventure that was pretty easy to get into and pretty easy to play through. And what better than that that touchstone of NCO leadership than a missing private? The only thing worse is a missing weapon, where they lock down entire bases and you don't get to go on your weekend until they find it. But that missing soldier gets kidnapped by a group of nefarious forces, just because we like to say nefarious. And you got to go get them. So,
and I love the art you use. That I told you this morning, that just brings me back to Judge's Guild.
That's Dean Spencer, man. That guy's a rock star. He does a lot of art. He's got a great Patreon, and is really a cool dude. You know, fellow jiu-jitsu player. He's just all around really cool British dude. Just a little, that art gives you a little bit of hint of what you're getting into. It comes with a full map, up close. It's got a full on like area map, and then an up close map of your objectives, and then like an actual like grid map, so you can actually play through if you want to print it out and put it on a table for miniatures. Missing Private sounds like the first game I ran in the ruin resulted in a total party kill. Of course.
Yeah, I want to say too, like, is that guy on the cover, is that the NCO when everybody rolled out in the morning to go on the first patrol, and like there's O'Reilly standing there without a weapon?
It is now,
and he's like, I don't know where my weapon is. I don't know where my God. And that's the NCO's response. He literally just like
turns into an orc and goes mental. And then you got that one corporal in the back with the two weapons over his shoulder going, I wonder how long it's gonna take him.
Hey, we got a question from our friend Jason Sunday, and I haven't seen this in the books myself, but I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility, so let's ask it. Jason Sunday asks, can you have a duck hunt fight between F-15 and a dragon?
Well, here's the deal, right? So the manual, if you bring up the manual, you'll notice that in the beginning, there's a little, there's a kind of note. Mike, if you want to share my screen, right there.
Okay, gotcha.
So if you go into the if you go into the book, there is a note from a guy who was voluntold he has to write this. And it says specifically up front, this is not a finished product, right? So what we wanted to do is we wanted to give you enough to get going, enough for new time players to have maybe some squad-based action, and you got all the rules, monsters, spells, weapons, everything you need to do that to conduct a foot patrol, you know, response to ambush, movement to contact, L-shaped ambush, you know, anything you want to run like squad-based tactics. As the campaign goes on, we're going to be adding to the book so that it becomes more complex. In the beginning, we just wanted to get this into your hands so that we could say, here you go. So in answer,
I was going to say, like the books really start with small unit tactics. And that's the great introductory for everybody to kind of understand, okay, you are modern military fighting in a fantasy world. If we go right to here's a strike eagle, go fight a dragon. Well, you know, if we were playing old school D&D, that feels like a really high level battle. And I'm a really big fan of old school D&D, and I really almost wanted to go and build it like basic, advanced, and then I remember there was this crazy thing where they did like, you know, 20th level and beyond. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what we see in the books is a constant progression. There, you know, like if you read the first book, it was about 100 special operations teams and other types of equipment that went through what's called the QST, the Quantum Singularity Time Gate, to go to this world. And some of them went missing, and some of them went otherwhere, and some of them got scattered around, and some of them got scattered in time. So in the latest book, I'm going to ruin it for you. Sorry, Mike. We did meet some helicopter gunships. So those things are like, we want to follow the development of the game, and we want to continue to build and support this world. I'm hoping we even get our own version of Dragon Magazine going. That's like maybe starts out quarterly. And so fans That'd can write awesome. Articles, and we can have questions, and we can have a mini module in there and some magic items and some weapon statistics and maybe some advertising, you know, that's cool. Like the old days with art like that. And I'd like to do that and continue to grow it. So will you eventually be a 9th level Navy commander with your own carrier floating around the Great Inner Sea or the Mediterranean, smoking dragon people? Sure, why not?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that what you want? We'll give that to you, Jason. We'll give you anything. Where are you in the subscription process? What do we need to do to make that happen? Have you made your decision for Forgotten Ruin?
Yeah, Jason's actually backed it.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah. So, we have vehicle rules, and we have full-blown chase rules, and we actually have rules for what's called asymmetrical aerial combat, which is mismatched kind of things coming at each other, like Dragon versus an F-15, you know, or even in like an F-35, F-22, that, you know, that while you have the speed on that plane, the Dragon has certain traits that make it comparable. Mm-hmm. However, if you're that F-35 or that F-22 against, say, like a whole slew of harpies, you know, you're talking about a much different battle because they're a much smaller target. They spread out from each other, after they get done basically becoming fantasy Karens and throwing stuff at you, they scatter. So you're not really dealing with just, you know, aim, fire like you are when you're on the ground, because you're talking two different mechanics that you have to work together.
Yeah. What happens when a murder of manticores jumps your F-15 and starts crawling all over it?
Yeah. As you're trying to take off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Even in the air.
Even in the air,
bat wings, and they would just glom onto you like locusts and start chewing at your wires and stuff like that. In the third book, the Rangers actually have to go smoke a dragon.
Wait, hang on. That Violence of Action, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. But that whole book is about planning and operation and how they do it. And it's actually pointed out they can do it quite easily, but they have things that they have to prevent the dragon from doing. And they decide, because they have no air support or anything, they have a drone and a drone operator, but like a Reaper type drone. They've got that, but they still, the thing that this is really, I think, the fun of Forgotten Ruin as a game, is they have to figure out how to weaken the dragon's best capabilities and enhance their best capabilities. And one of the things that they identify in all their recon, which is a big part of this game, is developing an intelligence on these monsters, because his voice got dry suddenly. We have to give the monsters a fighting chance. And so we also have to pretend that a lot of these guys, like, this is, you know, the Jurassic Park moment. No, 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 no. And they're like, oh, I've never seen that. What can this thing do? And I think that's kind of half the fun, is they're sort of fish out of water. One of the things that they determine about fighting the dragon is the one thing they can't do is let it get into the air. They have to keep it on the ground and they have to keep killing it. If it gets into the air, and it was a green dragon, so it was super intelligent. It could do poison gas attacks on them, and it ruined an entire squad in the initial battle. And then they're like, you know, the one thing we can't do is let this thing get in the air. So they shot it with a Stinger missile.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of a callback to the earlier part of the conversation about Kiev. So,
yeah.
All right. Wait, so.
There was a ghost of Kiev.
I will have the links in the show notes. Guys, I have to take off. But Nick, always a pleasure talking to you. Walt, pleasure talking to you. Thanks, everybody, in the comments. And we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.